You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer, and potentially still full from last week's turkey. It is Tony Casillas. TC, what up?
I'm doing great this Tuesday. Thanks for asking, brother.
Okay. How many plates did you eat last week?
Yeah, I lost track.
Nice.
It was it's always a tremendous to be able to spend time with your family and give thanks and everything that goes along with that. But yeah, it was very fulfilling, very filling. And, you know, I think I lost track. I have a tendency not to count.
Sure.
And I don't ever judge anyone. It's a time Thanksgiving is a time of not pass judgment on people.
Right.
Especially when you're eating. But, sure. Nevertheless, it was tremendous.
Good. Well, great day from a familial and I suppose dietary standpoint. Awful day as far as the Dallas Cowboys were and are concerned. This is the most unique week of the year for them. I think I would argue actually this is the most unique week that any NFL team, except for who the Cowboys play on the second Thursday, faces, because you have to go from Thanksgiving to Thursday night. So everything is kind of the same, but different. And so it feels a little bit chaotic. It kind of feels like nothing is set. And man alive, Tony, it felt that way on Monday, as if things were not unstable enough for the Dallas Cowboys, having lost in overtime to the Raiders on Thanksgiving Day, as everybody knows, dropping to 7-4. They did pick up some help on Sunday with the Philadelphia Eagles losing, kind of kept their breathing room in the race for the NFC East. And so on Monday, Tony, everyone's thinking, all's good. We're going to get back on track. All we got to do is show up to New Orleans, maybe have, you know, some jambalaya, you know, who knows, get a win, get out of town. And then we have the nice mini bye before on the road at Washington next week. Then Monday, Mike McCarthy tests positive for COVID-19. First and foremost, our thoughts are certainly with McCarthy and his family. He did mention that he has some family members who have tested positive as well. Just the latest coach to be put into the COVID protocols, Tony. There is only one player at the moment, at least at the time of our recording, and Terrence Steele in the COVID protocols. It's not, you know, an exaggeration to say the Cowboys are dealing with a little bit of an outbreak in terms of their team right now.
Yes. And I think that's what they always warn you against. And certainly, you know, this, every time you have a family gathering is against, you know, COVID and being able to expose. And it's kind of like the game, everything just really, really just spiraled out of control. And when it put penalties and just poor play, the whole storyline of the Raiders coming in with all the things that happen with their team and drama, and that they're going to be a team, and that's they're going to come in here, and the Cowboys can be able to pounce on them, dominate. That never happened, and so now it's just you have all this other things that have transpired. I think my comment about this would be that I think maybe, you know, Terrence Steele is a player that you could get by with, considering what we've seen over the last month.
Or even get by without, you know, because he's not playing right.
Yeah, if you let me finish my sentence, I'll explain that. So you get by with who you have, and it's really he's not the most important factor right now. And I think even if you look at McCarthy being out, you have Dan Quinn or whoever replaces him as far as making calls. I think you can kind of live without that. And so I think for me, it's one of those things where you just hopefully able to ride the storm, because I think we talked about in the last three games and in a 10-day period, it'd be this onslaught of games and try to get to the other side and heal up. I mean, they have obviously guys that are banged up this part of the season. But yeah, I think a lot of things have happened, and it's kind of like looking down that rabbit hole we've looked from this team before, is that you don't want to go down that hole of negativity and all of a sudden things start piling up. And, you know, certainly I think you thought the Cowboys would have been more than one game out of the last four games. And that's kind of been the narrative going into this week.
Yeah, you're right. This stretch always feels chaotic, and you can kind of sense it on the outset. And you're right. I mean, I don't know that anybody expected this particular type of skid. For what it's worth, Tony, while we're actually recording, Jerry Jones is on 105.3 The Fan for his weekly hit. And he mentioned that there is one more player that could possibly be held out on Thursday night due to COVID protocols. He did not name any names, but for anybody listening, make sure to check blogontheboys.com and our social media. We'll let you know who it ultimately is. But it's hard. I mean, I think, you know, when we looked at the schedule, and something I've been doing all season is looking at the schedule by opposing quarterback and who the quarterback is the Cowboys will be going up against. And there was no question that two of the more difficult remaining quarterbacks for the Cowboys to face were Patrick Mahomes and Derek Carr. And so on one hand, you lose to those guys and you say, well, you know, they're two of the better ones, you know, bring on Taysom Hill, bring on Taylor Heineke, bring on Daniel Jones. But it's not like those guys were great. I mean, and so when you factor in that the Cowboys are losing the way they're losing, which is really frustrating. And obviously last week had all the penalties. It hasn't sat well. It is starting to feel like things are spiraling a little bit out of control, and the chaos you mentioned, it's hard to feel like any team could stop the skid on not a short week, but a weird week with their head coach missing and a lot of other staffers missing because of the COVID protocols. It feels like a downtime right now. The vibes aren't exactly great.
Well, you just got to pivot it and make it, you know, go the other direction. And I think that, again, you know, you mentioned Derek Carr. I think people really didn't give him much respect coming this game because, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of other things that they've overlooked because of the things that are non-football related when it comes to their issues. And I think when you look at that game and some of the coverage that they were trying to do against the Raiders, they knew it was going to be a tight game as far as officials and everything that goes on. You knew it was going to be a tough game. And I think anytime it's kind of a trap you set yourself in, especially I think the fans kind of look at it as the Raiders and really don't give them much respect. And when you see it actually play out and watch it like we did on Thanksgiving Day and we're able to expose some positions, then, you know, every week, and the bottom line is every week you got to be ready to play. It doesn't matter who you play. You can't look at the record. You got to look at the guy, people you're lining up against and who you're playing. And I think for me, whenever I looked at that game, it looked to me that, again, and we've seen this before, the Raiders wanted it more. And it was kind of like going back to Denver. And you look at the defenses that the Cowboys have played against over the last four weeks, and some of the good defenses they hadn't fared very well against. So now it's like then we're kind of seeing maybe some of this exposed. And as I mentioned before, you got to be able to pivot it and change directions with the momentum.
Are you concerned about them not wanting it more? Right. I mean, because after the Denver loss, they came out, they whipped the Falcons. And so it's easy to kind of talk yourself out of it. Right. And say, okay, they had an off day. They felt sorry for themselves. They got the monkey butt, whatever. They came back. They got the big win. Good for them. Then they lose to Kansas City and whatever. Fine. But then they come out, Tony, last week and they're saying things like, we're pissed off. You know, we want to get our hands on somebody. We want to punch somebody in the face. And then they're flat the way they were, you know, early on for a majority of the game against Vegas. And so, I mean, does it feel like empty words? Like, does it feel like just talk from them? I think that's where everyone's concern is, that maybe they're just talk and maybe they're actually not capable of responding the way we saw them against Atlanta. Maybe the Falcons are just a really bad team, which is why they're able to do it against them.
I think it's the combination of a couple of things. Maybe the opponent and there was so much that we gave them for being able to bounce back after the Denver game and then beating the Atlanta Falcons, and we kind of seen who they are. But I think it's just the stretch of play when you have not much time off and you have to go, you know, from a Sunday to a Monday to a Thursday or whatever, and then play on another Thursday. you just want to try to get through that. And really, the teams that I've been on and I've seen teams play this year is that the tone that you set is usually is going to really this be the probably the example of what maybe the game may be like. And when I say that, I mean, you have to come out, you have to start fast, you have to do some positive things and not really give the team that comes in here that may, excuse me, may be struggling from non-football related issues and put that self-doubt in their mind. And just haven't ever seen that energy that really the Cowboys have done. And for me, that's, for me, when I look at them, that's kind of what I base my judgment on, is how they start and then continue. This kind of becomes this snowball of negative things that happen. And again, just, you know, taking shots down the field, playing man-to-man coverage, guys out of position, losing a game ultimately by a pass interference call. Those are things that really don't bode well when it comes to confidence.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So all that being said, because all that's true, how worried are you about Mike McCarthy not being around this week? He is, you know, I know that a lot of people have a lot of opinions on him, but at the very least, I think anyone would have to admit he's a stabilizing presence for them. You mentioned the snowball effect, et cetera. I mean, if there's somebody who's capable of stopping that, of slowing that down, it is the head coach. And now he's out. And so that I feel like further calls into question their ability to, you know, to stop the skid, to get a win, however you want to put it.
Well, I think it certainly, it puts a wrinkle in the way you do things routine wise. Your coach is, you get become a routine, he's on the sidelines, and then all of a sudden you have to change that. But I think these players now have gotten used to things changing from day to day because of COVID. And this is just a pure example of that. Other teams have done that. Again, you have experience. You have Dan Quinn and coaches on the staff that have experience and being able to manage the clock and do things that Mike McCarthy does. I don't think that you want to look at this as something, this is just a lot, it's just adversity that to face. This is the modern day football that you have to face as far as things happen. And I, as I mentioned, I wasn't trying to be insensitive to Mike McCarthy. This is a serious matter when you get exposed to COVID, but it seems like it's kind of asymptomatic. I mean, they test these guys every day, so he'll hopefully be fine with that. But I think, again, it's your leadership. It's the guys you have on the team. They're able to keep things together. You know, Dak Prescott being one of the big leaders on this team. And really just everything's kind of set in place. It's just going to be a new face on the sidelines. I think the virtual coaching is really it's odd and would be difficult because you're not on. I think in the classroom and doing through the game plan is one thing. But during, you know, seeing his presence visibly on the sidelines is another thing. But I think, getting to my point is that I think that they can, live without Mike McCarthy not being on sidelines, because it's been, you know, teams have been having to do that all year long. It's not, to me, it's not, you're not taking away someone like Aaron Rodgers or someone like Dak Prescott, or as I mentioned, Terrence Steele, he's a replaceable guy. They have enough guys on there that to go out there, and the players got to make things happen. They're the ones that need to turn this around, not Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I know you're not minimizing the absence of Mike McCarthy.
Oh, but no.
Right.
Without
but,
a doubt.
Right. But, yeah. the literal point is, you know, he's not on the field. He can help with the preparation, the planning this week. It's not the same, but it could be worse. And you're right. You mentioned this is modern football. I mean, this is our climate. The Saints dealt with this. The Saints dealt with this back at the beginning of the season, missing a ton of coaches. We've seen, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury missed time. A number of coaches, number of people, number of players, obviously, Amari Cooper. And it's just the Cowboys are hopefully getting close to this kind of dissipating and calming down, because it has kind of taken over them over the last almost month at this point. And I think, you know, a win would go a long way here. I mentioned the mini bye. I mean, if the Cowboys can get this win on Thursday night, fly home, wake up on Friday morning, and have a week and a half to get ready for, not that I think Washington is a great team, but they are a contending team in the NFC and certainly a divisional rival. That would go a really long way for them. And so I guess, you know, I don't want to be hot takey, but if they don't win, if they lose, that would be dropping four of their last five. I mean, what's, and some of it would depend on how it happened, whatever. But I mean, would you be panicking if they lost on Thursday night in New Orleans?
I think it'd be a concern. As you mentioned, you know, Washington, they won last night. They have starting to figure it out. I think offensively, they were able to move the ball. Defensively, I think they've gotten better. I've looked, you know, look at the stats. So you really don't know. And, you know, for me, this is all about Dallas and what they need to do for themselves. They need to turn this around. The momentum that they had during the first part of the season could vaporize if they lose, you know, three straight, essentially. And so they can't afford that to go on the road. You know, you're in New Orleans, while they may have a different quarterback, Taysom Hill starting at quarterback, and really haven't been very productive, got blown out on Thanksgiving Day. They also, you look at that, their defense is playing really well. Defensively, they got some playmakers. So you can't overlook who you're getting ready to play. So my point is that they have got to be able to turn this around and create some momentum and not lose what they gained and what they really accomplished the first half of the season. I mean, this is December. This is getting into, you know, the January where you start contenders, and they start coming forward, and all the pretenders, they kind of let go from the wayside. So to me, I think it's more important for them to take control of who they are and not worry about anyone else, what's going to dictate for them.
Yeah, people love to talk about like when you should start peaking and stuff like that. Now's the time. You want to start the climb up. Now would be the time to do so. And so, I mean, I hate to say it's massive or it's critical or it's epic or it's mega, but it is a very, very, very big game. You're right. I mean, you have to take the opponent seriously. It's, you know, I think people look at like the Cardinals and it's easy to kind of get up for that game because, you know, they're 9-2 and they're at the top of the NFC, et cetera. New Orleans isn't really there. And so it's kind of hard, but this game is going to go a long way at deciding who they are, and you know, what their future is going to be over the course of the rest of the season. I did want to, before we leave, just circle back to one thing. You've mentioned Terrence Steele a couple of times. And I haven't seen any real explanation for this from the coaching staff. We all last week, Tony, assumed because Tyron Smith was going to play on Thursday against Vegas. Okay, Cowboys are finally going to have Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins at the two tackle positions. First time since the season opener. Lo and behold, like an hour before kickoff, all the reports are Terrence Steele's actually out there working with the ones at right tackle, not Lyle Collins. So the Cowboys kind of pulled the old switcheroo very, very close to kickoff. I mean, obviously they were planning for this all week long and didn't let anybody know. But they cleared there's some sort of disconnect for them with Lyle Collins, right? And he was suspended and he missed all of last year. And so I think it's fair to assume they don't trust him to a certain degree. And maybe he's still who knows, you know, kind of getting back into football shape. I mean, he's played well, I think, you know, in the time, the little time he's gotten so far this year since he got back from the suspension. But are you at all troubled by how they chose to start? And they can't, obviously, this week, but they chose to start Terrence Steele over. The only reason Lyle Collins is starting this week is because he's forced to, because of the Terrence Steele COVID situation.
I think it's one of the decisions that it ultimately comes down to, you're paying this guy a lot of money to play, and it's hard to justify him not being out there. But once you see him play and notice that he's not the guy that he used to be, and he's become a liability, and you know Terrence Steele is a better player than him, then that's the reality of it. And I think if you watch both him, you know, Terrence Steele, his left side is not natural for him. I mean, the right side has been is more favorable for him. But Lael Collins has really hasn't showed. When you watch him play and you kind of do a scouting report, to me it looks like he's a little uncertainty when it comes to blocking. He doesn't seem to me that when he pass blocks, has much confidence. I think his base looks a little bit more unstable and just doesn't have the confidence that we saw a couple of years ago. And you got to remember, he hasn't played a whole lot of football in the last 2 years for related reasons. So it's who you have confidence in. I think right now, Terrence Steele, unfortunately, is not going to play this week because of COVID. Now you got Lael Collins on the right side. And I guarantee you, when you go and watch the video and tape on him, they're looking and saying that we can do some nice things with him. You're facing Cam Jordan, to me, as one of the tremendous pass rushers in the National Football League. So there's going to be some matchups. And then maybe Tyron, it's going to take him a little time. We know when he's healthy, he's one of the best in the NFL. But I think maybe he's still like playing through some injuries. And we kind of saw that last week against the Raiders. But the point about Lael Collins, I think right now he's not playing very well, or certainly not to the level they expected him to.
Yeah, and they clearly, you know, don't trust him. I mean, because of the suspension, because of last year, you know, there's a lot. I mean, you've seen that. If a coach can trust a player, that goes a long way. That bridges a lot of gaps in a lot of different instances. It's a weird week, Tony. So the game is now, well, depending on when people listen to this, a little over 48 hours away. Prediction. Cowboys Saints, who wins? I mean, do you think, you know, Cowboys opened to 7-point favorites? I would not touch that personally, but I mean, how do you feel?
I feel pretty good about it. I think that I really think, and you look at the matchups, then Dallas can do some really nice things, get some of their playmakers back this week. I think defensively, Micah Parsons is playing to an unbelievable level. So I think that there's going to be some matchups on the defensive side of the ball. And I really think I believe in this team. I think they've done some nice things, and I don't look for the last month to identify who they are. And I think they'll get it back on track. Taysom Hill. Thinking about Tyron Smith. He's a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience. And I think that they can take advantage of that. But I like the Cowboys bouncing back. I like the Cowboys winning this one.
I'll take them to win, but I think it's like a 4-6 point win. I really don't think they cover. I'm not taking them. They were, you know, for the longest time, they were the last undefeated team against the spread this season. It's just kind of hard to trust that they'll get back to that. But, you know, hopefully they do. And hopefully we can kind of put to bed all this doubt in them. And we can have a nice long, you know, week and a half worth of rest before the NFC East games start. After this game, Tony, they have 5 games left and 4 of them are against the NFC East. The other one is against the Cardinals. So kind of a throwback NFC East game, if you want to consider it that. But yeah, you have any leftovers left in the fridge or they're all gone?
You know what? I think I do. I'm just trying to like refrain from that. And the more you keep bringing that up, the more I'm probably going to have more leftovers. I did do the imminent fast, which is not to eat anything before noon and not to eat anything after 7. I did okay before noon. It's just after that 7 o'clock when it's in there, just kind of lurking and just kind of reaching out to you. Just come and get some of this, these lemon bars or this smoked turkey and whatnot. But I think my son's leaving today, so I think I'm going to pack him. I'm going to pack him up a nice little goodie bag and have him send that to him back to college. because I don't need that. It looks better on him than it does me.
Sure. He'll enjoy that. Well, hopefully, hopefully you just give him everything. Just dump it all in an ice chest and let him, you know, take it in the car and enjoy it over the coming days. We'll be back
in about a case, that in a case of beer.
That's a good call for a college kid, certainly. We'll be back next week, hopefully discussing the 8-4 Dallas Cowboys, Tony. Weird week, weird times, but hopefully the Cowboys make everything feel normal on Thursday night this week. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next Tuesday. This was the 750.